Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is here. I'm always glad he's here. And before we went to break, we were having a discussion about the transition of leadership that's inevitable in this country, and that our generation, we're fighting tooth and nail to hang on to that power. And Sandy, you were saying before we went to break.
Well, I was talking about the transition that big corporations and businesses, family businesses, everyone in business who's provident and careful and wise sets up transition programs to make sure that young blood moves up in the organization and has futures. But the other thing is that as a generation in control, the longer we control the United States policies, the more we basically install into the policies we leave behind and the situation we leave behind the goblins and boogeymen that we were worried about, which is all about the experience we had, which is well in the rearview mirror. You know, I mean, our history is the Cold War stopped in 1990. You know, and 1989. And so that's 30 years ago. All of us, for all of us, it's a very clear and vivid memory that colors the way we think about things and the colors the way we, and it's the same as true, I'm sure, on Vladimir Putin's side of the aisle. To some extent, he and Biden have been in a plastic surgery contest to see who can look young while they still are getting older. You read the Daily Mail and some of these newspapers, and they are showing you proof that Biden had a facelift. You can tell from his earlobe, and pretty clearly, both Biden and Putin have had their eyes fixed so they don't look like jolly old men. And why are they doing that? I mean, they're doing that to try and hold on to a youthful appearance to sort of fool the world that they really aren't old men when they are. And they're bringing with them the memories and the policies that are in the rearview mirror. And unfortunately, it looks like we're now, as a generation, going to install these same problems and inflict them on our children and grandchildren. And so that's really the problem with not having a transition. You have to have people who have a current vantage point and a current and future viewpoint in control of policies, or otherwise you'll get stuck in the past. And that's what's so troubling to me about what's currently going on in the world and foreign policies is it looks like we're just digging a tunnel towards the past, and we're going to get stuck in the past problems, which is what the world has always done in foreign affairs. We can't seem to get over being the Hadfields and the McCoys. We can't get over who it is that we had a war with 100 years ago. A lot of what's going on in Russia relates to a view that they, as a Eurasian empire, developed of Europe and a fear of Europe. And it was a rightful fear in many respects, because wars in Europe were like a contagion. There were wars between countries in Europe going on all the time. And those wars, Napoleonic wars, the wars of the Bismarck wars in the 19th century, spread into Russia because that was the neighboring landmass all the time. And these were all imperialist wars. They were always about territory and gaining territory. So if you had territory that someone aspired to gain, then maybe you were rightfully worried about protecting your turf. So the Eurasian Empire was very interested in having a buffer from the contagion of these European wars and the danger of European expansion. And, you know, they felt it periodically. The history going way back, Lithuanian Empire, Polish Empire, this whole region, unlike the United States, was a region of empires, of territorial battles and takeovers, something we've never experienced. Well, we've experienced in one way. We're the empire that took over the land from the indigenous. You know, we basically swallowed the land from the Spanish and the French. So we are ourselves an empire, but we never faced this danger from outside. And so all of what colors international affairs seems to be with a foot in the past, and it's memory, it's instinct, it's knee-jerk. And it's unfortunate that we inflict on our future generations the knee-jerk from the past. And
go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I don't know. Don't you feel the same way, Earl, that we've got this, that history is repeating itself, and it's because we're victims of our history?
Well, yes, I do. But the other side of this is, if you look at on the state levels, younger people are now governors. And there was a time when it was the same way. Baby boomers controlled the states, but now across the nation, both blue and red states, you've got younger governors, younger mayors. So how can it be that we can do that in our states and in our cities, but then nationally, that doesn't, transition? And I think it has a lot to do, Sandy, with business communities that control, the realities of on a national level.
Yeah, my answer to what you were going right to the same place, or I was going to the same place with my answer, which is that the national politics is much more controlled by sort of invisible power brokers. And it's not like we could name six individuals who are these power brokers, but it's interest groups who are massive power brokers. It's the defense industry. It's various. It's the NRA. Right. It's the Christian right. It's all kinds of interest groups who are, but it's not that many of them. There's probably 10 of them, and they're in very influential positions, and they don't trust someone who hasn't already shown exactly how they relate to their power group. So why did Joe Biden get in? Because he's been very adroit on the Democratic side at not earning the enmity of these power brokers. He was trusted. He was safe. In fact, everyone talked about Joe Biden. He's a safe candidate. We know that he's not going to do something unpredictable. And by unpredictable, people are basically talking, he's not going to do anything that's going to damage one of these interest groups that is represented by these power brokers. And I think that's the problem with young candidates, is they haven't earned the trust of the power brokers. And I think that was the case in the Soviet Union. I think power brokers there were the Communist Party, and you climbed up through the Communist Party over time, such that by the time you emerged at the top, you were an old man.
You know, Sandy, so now that we've opened that door, I think we need to delve a little bit deeper with what we are talking about, because I'm in total agreement with you that the hidden government is basically what we're talking about. And people say it tongue in cheek that there's a hidden government. And then there'll be people who push, but nah, that doesn't exist. But we kind of know that there is some of that. And then there's so many questions that we can derive from that conversation that I want to carry that over after the break. I wasn't planning on it, but I think, Sandy, we've kind of hit on something that I think we need to delve a little bit deeper in before we move to something else.
I agree. Actually, an epiphany I've had over the last weeks is just that very fact that we do have a hidden government, but it's not like it's a kitchen cabinet. It's not like you could name eight guys who are meeting someplace and making decisions. It's not like the Politburo in Russia or in USSR. It's much more vague and opaque than that, but it's got just as strong an iron grip on politics.
So we got to do this. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. I'm always glad he's here. You two can join us. We'll be right back.